You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Out on the phone now to Wayne Bierbauer, who is a business agent with Police Officers Association of Michigan. Good evening, Wayne. How are you?
Hi, Cheryl. Very good. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. You've had a busy day. You and some of your members have been up in Lansing talking to legislators and listening in on some hearings, specifically on a hearing to repeal Public Act 312 from the 1960s. How did the day go, and what can you tell me about the hearing?
Well, I think at the onset of the day, we were all very troubled by the fact that the legislature would even take up at this point repealing, a total repeal of the act. And we came up here to try to make sure our voice was heard and to make sure the legislature understood the will of the people. And I believe now, coming out of these subcommittee hearings, that probably we're going to get a little better hearing from the legislator. And I believe that they're a little bit more open to some of our arguments at this point. So I would say, with a little bit of caution, we are somewhat more optimistic right now that this isn't necessarily going to go through.
Now, go through as a whole, the bill is House Bill 4205, or there may be adjustments from within?
Well, right now, there has been no amendments made. This is a subcommittee hearing. What they come out with is what the House will vote on if it comes out, and thus far, there's been no amendments. Of course, the act itself right now, or I should say the bill that's coming out, is to repeal the act in its entirety. So this is not a compromise by any means. The POAM stands willing to submit legislation that is a compromise to Act 312 that will, how should we say, streamline it and perhaps make it a little bit more wieldy for both the union and management to use in terms of the process of negotiation.
And just for folks, for clarification, Public Act 312 is the act that requires binding arbitration if police and fire unions can't reach a contract agreement with their municipalities. Do I have that correct?
Yes, that's right. It comes into play only if we have negotiated to an impasse where we don't feel we can go any further. It was originally instituted in 1969 to avoid strikes and to avoid any type of work stoppages, because everyone understands that police and fire is the base that we need out there. We need a response when the fabric of society, if you will, goes bad, and we need a police officer out there, or if we have a structural fire or someone being hurt, we want the fire department to respond as quickly as possible. So this was put into place to avoid any type of work stoppages, to make sure, also I think in the long run, it's helped the professional police officers and firefighters to become, I think, firmly entrenched in the middle class. If you remember, and maybe this is too far for you, it's a little bit beyond me, but I do recall, in the 60s, your firefighters, police officers, were actually among the lowest paid public servants out there, and really, that's not what you want. And I would hate for us to turn back the clock by totally repealing this type of legislation that's worked for 42 years.
Well, and Public Act 312 is important to the Police Officers Association of Michigan. And in going to your website today, it's right there in the banner that the POAM is a full-service labor organization formed to provide, and I'm obviously reading from your banner, every labor-related service from negotiations, grievance processing, legal and legislative representation to Act 312 arbitration. So this is a big part of what you do, and a big part of who you are as an association.
Well, we probably do more arbitrations than any other labor associations out there. However, I have to say, and we need to make sure in the discussion we characterize this correctly, 95% of our contracts are settled through negotiations. Arbitration 312 only comes into play in the very small, minute number of cases, less than 5% of our total contracts that we negotiate ever go to arbitration. And I think that's important, because sometimes you hear the employers or the Michigan Municipal League and some others say that it's a costly process that, you know, hampers, you know, reducing benefits and different things. It doesn't. It's utilized very seldom. And the bottom line is right now, in the few cases that we are going to arbitration, say in the last year or two, majority of times the employer is winning the arbitrations because it is clear out there that the employers that we have in the state of Michigan right now do have a legitimate inability to pay. So it's a matter of letting us work it out as to how much each municipality needs to have back from us or what concessions we need to make or what the plan is for the future. But I think that should be left up to the individual employers and employees, not the state government at this point.
Is this one of those issues that starts to feel like a slippery slope? We've been hearing this week, of course, with what's happened in Wisconsin, the rally yesterday, the even larger rally today of union members and supporters. Is this just one of those issues that feels like it's part of a slippery slope to your group?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know where this is all going to go. We don't want to go back. We don't want to turn back, I don't think. I think if you ask the majority of Michigan voters right now, do they want to repeal police officers' ability to go to binding arbitration when we have a contract impasse? I think the majority would say, of course we want them to have that ability. And I think even more so once they realize that we very seldom utilize it. And right now when we do utilize it or when the employer utilizes it, we're coming out on the losing end of it because despite the fact, I think this is a very important job, and how much can you pay an individual if they're shot at or shot and killed in the line of duty? We can't repay that, but we also understand our employers are having difficult times paying right now. So we're willing to make those concessions. We're willing to minimize our demands in the future. But again, I don't think we want to throw that whole process out, which has really led to the fact that most of my co-workers have degrees or some type of advanced education. The job I started in 1979 when I retired in 2005, December, the job was completely different. I mean, just the technologies that are involved and the laws that have changed, all those things. You need the highest level of trained individual you can have. And if we go back to the 60s where we're making this the lowest paid job, I'm sorry, but you're not going to attract those people.
Well, and it also, in doing some background reading, if we go back to those days before PA 312, negotiations could drag on for an awfully long period of time because police officers can't strike and firefighters.
Right. And I mean, inherently, I think that's unfair. And I think it's unfair if we say, as police officers and firefighters, we cannot do without you. Society cannot do without these functions. Consequently, you cannot strike. And if you do, we can charge you with a crime. We can, you know, fine you. We can put you in jail, all those things. But now what we want to do is take away the only other right we had, which was to go to binding arbitration and let a third party, not our friend, not the friend of management, hopefully, just an arbitrator who's a trained professional will come in, analyze the ability to pay, not pay, the issues on the table, and make a good decision that is fair to everyone as much as possible.
And I did read it in an article that came from Press and Guide newspaper, a statement put out by the POAM that said, this is not the time to scream, beg, or march on the Capitol. It's time to work the back doors and get our point across. And coming up to the rally today, is that how you went about it?
Oh, absolutely. We don't want to see, and I think the governor does not want to see the type of display that we're seeing in Wisconsin. And I'm not throwing stones by any means. Everybody has to do what they have to do. But the bottom line is that I think we are a group that has very articulable positions that should be made known. And my major criticism right now of this precipitous action is that it's taken on too quickly. Let's slow the process down at the very least. Make sure everyone's educated. One of the things that came out of the hearing today was I heard some statements made by the politicians involved and by some of the representatives of the management groups. They don't understand the act. Some of them have, quite frankly, not read the act. That's what you need to do. So, yes, our vision here is that we come in, educate the the legislators that are going to make the decision and educate even our employers to the facts of the reality of what 312 has done. It's, as I said, it's utilized in less than 5% of the cases yet. Almost categorically, we come to a negotiated settlement. And this is not a settlement that most of us walk away from the table from the union perspective saying, we won. Neither does management. They don't walk away saying, we won. We walk away from an even table saying, well, this is the best we can do right now. Well, and that's the way the process should be.
Yeah, that they always say in the art of a compromise, neither side gets everything they want.
Absolutely. And that's what we're trying to maintain. And so, yes, to answer your original question, we are trying to work the back halls, if you will. We're trying to make sure our legislators understand our perspective even more so. And I appreciate this about your show. We want the public to understand. We're not just out there, you know, begging for something that, you know, shouldn't be there. We've paid the dues. Again, I lost my first training officer in 1987. I actually trained the young man from Livonia who was killed earlier this year in January. And the bottom line is we all take those risks. So, I mean, is a middle-class wage, $55,000, $60,000 a year in pension, is that really too much at this point? I think that the public needs to understand, too, that, you know, we're not getting rich by any means, but I think you have to have a certain median income for this profession. Otherwise, you're not going to attract the people you want there.
Certainly. Do you think you were heard today? We only have a minute or so left, but do you think your voices were heard in your message?
Yes, I'm, as I said earlier, cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping that not only our legislators heard, but also the public that may have been watching or may be listening right now. And by all means, let your elected representatives know that this is not the action you want right now. And if it is ever taken, whatever form, that we take a little more time in considering the decision. And again, I have to emphasize the POAM stands more than ready to negotiate over the actual act itself. We're ready to streamline it to make it more productive for both sides and more cost-effective for the citizens that we serve.
Well, Wayne, I can't thank you enough for your time. It's been a busy day for you, and we'll keep following the story and look forward to speaking with you again.
Well, Cheryl, thank you for your time, and I appreciate being contacted when these issues come up.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Wayne Bierbauer, who is with the Police Officers Association of Michigan. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.